the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hello. How are you, Gabby?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're just talking about the weekend already here, and it's kind of caught us off guard. Damian asked me, are you ready for the weekend? I said, no.
It's Wednesday.
That's right. Should be Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be a nice day, I think, overall. And we're going to begin our nice day with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for the great gift that the priesthood is to us and to your church. We humbly ask you to call more men to serve you in the priesthood and to provide for them everything they need to carry out this vocation faithfully. You know how great our need is for holy priests in our parishes. When there are too few priests in our diocese, many of your people suffer spiritually. Please move more men to devote their lives to you in the priesthood. And we particularly ask you today to increase vocations to the diocese priesthood. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. As you could tell, that was a prayer for vocations.
That's a good priesthood prayer. Needed very
yes.
much.
Thank you so much, Damian. Our saint of the day is Blessed Emmanuel Ruiz and Companions. We will learn more about the saint of the day and his companions later on in today's show, but we are joined by Eric Miller with the Louisiana Knights of Columbus. He'll be giving us an update in about 5 minutes on what the Knights are up to for the month of July. In 18 minutes, Steve Ray joins us. He's a Catholic convert and speaker and pilgrimage leader. And today we're going to be talking about the Feast of the Precious Blood of Jesus. He always has some wonderful insights, and you always learn something during Steve Ray's segment. So stay tuned for that. And in 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us. And every Friday, we talk about faith and food. And today, we're going to be talking about homemade beignets. You guys, I've never tried homemade beignets.
You, what?
So I'm curious.
Really?
No, I've always just purchased them at you know, Café du Monde or, or somewhere else. So, but looking forward to seeing how they're made or hearing how they're made from the Catholic foodie. And Terry Dixon joins us in 48 minutes. He's the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi and editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. He'll be giving us an update of what you'll be finding in this week's issue. And just wanted to let you guys know we're on social media. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and we're on Threads, you guys.
Threads.
At Catholic Community Media. I've been threading since 9 a.m. yesterday, and I'm
hooked. Damien's giving me the blank stare over here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
follow
about it.
Follow us, Catholic Community Media. And we're still on Twitter at LA Catholic Media, but Threads is like a place of unicorns, wonderful pizza buffets, lights, and sunshine. Shine and
for
Twitter
now.
Is a place of darkness.
You are so right, Gabby. For now, though.
Yes.
Right.
For now. So
well, let's let folks know what the weather's going to be like. How about that? I don't know if there's any threads involved with it, but it may be a shower or two this morning in and around the Baton Rouge, Homme-Thibodeau area. Rain's really going along the coastline right now in the Homme-Thibodeau, Golden Meadow area. It may move on shore. It may not. That's why it's a 50-50 chance of rain. High today is going to be 94, winds out of the west northwest at 5 to 10. And for the weekend, Saturday, pretty much the same as today. And Sunday, 70% chance of rain in the forecast. That's going to cool things off. Monday, it should be a lot like Sunday. So carbon copy days right now when it comes to weather. Temperatures 78 degrees, Homme-Thibodeau in Baton Rouge, 82 in New Orleans, and 75 in Covington. That's your forecast and tips. Get ready. Eric Miller's coming up next on Wake Up.
good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. It is Friday, folks, July 7th. That's right. And it's going to be a happy Friday. And to get things started, we're going to talk to Eric Miller, our friend with the Knights of Columbus. And he's here to give us a nightly update. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone?
Oh, fine. I hope it wasn't a contradictory of terms the way I phrased that. But
well, happy Friday is redundant.
Well, no, nightly update
nightly
this morning.
Nightly update. Oh, Sir Eric.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what a knight with a K.
Yes.
All right, my brother. KC, Knights of Columbus. So what is happening? Didn't y'all just have your state convention not long ago?
So we did. We had the state convention back at the end of April, first part of May. Mm-hmm. The council, we're finishing our fraternal year. The new fraternal year started July 1. And so we have all the councils with their election of officers, filing of their forms as to the officers and personnel, setting of budgets, and planning their new fraternal year. So it's a very busy part of the year for the councils to get organized. And in fact, we have our leadership training seminars, we call them KCLS, coming up on July 15th in Prairieville, and then July 16th in Alexandria. And it's to organize and train the new officers and even old officers like me how to do things. I've been the financial secretary of my council for, I don't know, 12 years. So you would hope I would know how to do it by now, but I always learn something new. So we're getting that all underway. So, and then we've got the group getting ready to go off to the Supreme Convention that's coming up at the end of the month, July 30 through first part of August in Orlando. So they'll be heading off to learn all the stuff we're supposed to be doing statewide and down on the council level. So, yeah, this is a very busy part for the councils with their planning and getting ready for the stuff coming up.
Yeah, you know, the folks out there, everybody at a church parish, they kind of know what the Knights of Columbus do. They support the church parish, priest, a lot of activities. But quite often they think you guys just meet, have a nice meal once a month, a beer or two, and that's kind of it. But there are a lot of things that take place behind the scenes. And more importantly, you're doing a lot of God's work that people don't even know about, especially when there's a disaster. It seems like y'all are sometimes the first to show up.
Mm-hmm. We are. We have a good group of men that head that up and plan it and get ready so that if we do have those disasters that the Knights can respond quickly and get supplies or whatever food, whatever's needed in the area and to help the local parish churches with their parishioners. So that's a really good bunch of guys, and I appreciate everything that they do as they plan for the upcoming year. So, yeah, we're getting ready. We got the FET, the two tests coming up on August 15th.
Yes.
the boat ride that's going from New Iberia down to Franklin, and the Knights on Bikes will be there at the landing to lead the procession through town.
Oh, wow.
That's
awesome. Very nice.
Brother Knights on Bikes are getting ready for that. So, yeah,
We're not talking pedal bikes, right?
No way.
No. We're not talking the pedal bikes. We'll be on our motorcycles. Most of them are Harleys, so we were getting ready for that.
So it's really a sight to see when y'all all are together like that.
Do you have your own jackets?
It is. And we wear our leather vests. Yeah.
What was that, Gabby?
Do you have your own jackets? Or vests?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, they do.
Okay. Each council, yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah, we have our own. We wear old vests, motorcycle vests, on the nights on bikes. So,
and tattoos for your upper arm there?
I haven't gotten a tattoo yet. I'm not sure the wife would appreciate that very much.
Yeah, there you go. What else is happening for the Knights right now for the month of July? And I also want to touch on the Seminary Mission Fund as well.
Right. So we have just this month, there's the West Bank ACTS Men's Retreat on July 20th through the 23rd. And you can get more information on that on our website. So we're supporting that. We're also supporting the Louisiana Right to Life. And they're having a pro-life youth retreat July 10th through the 14th in Baton Rouge. And we're supporting that for the high school and college students. So that's what we have immediately coming up that we're helping out with this month in the community. So that's what we have going on.
Yeah, and last but not least, always a big day for you all. Even though it's next month, I want to kind of get the word out because people have been praying to Blessed McGivney and share with us he is pretty much the founder of the Knights of Columbus, right?
He was. He started the Knights of Columbus back in the late 1800s in New Haven, Connecticut, in the basement of his parish church with a handful of men to help with the widows and orphans and Catholic families who had been persecuted or discriminated against, and to help them along. And that was the founding of the Knights of Columbus that is now grown to what it is today in terms of the insurance program and all the councils worldwide that help out with the church parishes, with the families, and with the bishops and priests.
Yeah, to take care of them. And that feast day is going to be August 13th. And Eric Miller, where do they go if they want to become a member of the Knights of Columbus? Where can men go?
They can go to LouisianaKC.org and do the front page join us, or KFC.org/join us and join the Knights of Columbus.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Emmanuel Ruiz and Companions. Not much is known of the early life of Emmanuel Ruiz, but details of his heroic death in defense of the faith have come down to us. That is enough for the Church to honor him and his companions, who are among the many men and women martyred during the 19th century. Born of humble parents in Spain in 1804, he became a Franciscan priest and served as a missionary in Damascus. During this time, tension between the Muslim and Christian communities was high. Anti-Christian riots shook Syria, and thousands lost their lives in just a short time. Among these were Emmanuel, who was the superior of the Franciscan convent, along with seven other friars and three laymen. When a menacing crowd came to the convent looking for them, the men refused to renounce their faith and convert to Islam, as the crowd insisted. Before their martyrdom, the Franciscans and their friends were subjected to horrible tortures. Emmanuel and his companions died in 1860 and were beatified by Pope Pius XI in 1926. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up and Tuning Your Heart to the Truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson, and our next guest is Steve Ray. Steve is a Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, and today we're going to be talking about the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Always loved coming on your show with you.
It's good to have you. And I always have to ask, and I always wonder this with a lot of things with the Catholic Church, for those who don't really know the Catholic Church quite yet, are feast days or relics or terms or things like the Feast of the Most Precious Blood, what they think? And Steve, you are a Catholic convert. I mean, what were your thoughts when you heard the Feast of the Most Precious Blood before you became Catholic? Because sometimes you hear that and you're like, wait, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? tell me what your thought was.
Well, I thought Catholics are a bunch of morbid people, you know, collecting body parts, trading body parts, talking about blood and all these things. But as a Protestant, my favorite hymn was I'll sing it to you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we love the blood of Jesus, and it's scripture up and down. But the way Catholics, we always say that, well, Catholics always have to take things too far. They can't just say, okay, Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and that blood washed away our sins. It paid for our sins. Now you've got to, you know, have a whole day to celebrate blood and body parts and these kind of things. I just always take it too far. But I realized in my conversion process that it's not that Catholics take things too far, but they understand the value of things, and therefore they make them special and they proclaim them as being as special as they really are. For example, the Bible says, in 1 Peter 1:18, you were ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold. In other words, God wants to ransom us from the devil and from sin. We sinned and we went into this condition. Now, this is being written to an age where you could go to the marketplace this morning and you could buy a slave. You could go down and you say, I need a strong guy. I need a lot of work. So you'd go find a muscly guy, or you want a girl. So you'd buy a girl. This was an age where you could go and buy a slave at the market. And then Peter writes and says, you were not purchased or ransomed out of slavery with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. So here you get the image of Christ going to the slave market, in a sense. And he says to them, I'm going to shed my blood and give my blood so that slave there can go free. And that's what he did for us. That's why the blood is special. He did, you know, we often think that it's just that he died for us in our place, or it was his death that was important. Yes, it was. But it was the actual blood that poured out of his veins. That's what purchased us. That's what washed away our sins, is that blood. And so it's an amazing thing. You think God came down and became a man, and he has a heart. Think of this. He has this muscle in his chest that's pumping blood. God himself comes down and takes on flesh. That means he has a pump in his chest, a muscle pumping blood, and his blood is going through his veins. And he knows he's going to give that blood at the end. He's going to pour all that blood out of his body. And we know from the book of Leviticus that the life of a person is in his blood. You take his blood away, you take his life away. Jesus is coming with a heart pumping blood through his body, knowing that he's going to allow that blood to be poured out. And what's it being poured out for? For the atonement of our sins and for the washing away of our sins, to give his life in exchange for ours. So how can you not find this an absolutely amazing thing? When you had the blood of goats and sheep and bulls that were killed, an atonement. They couldn't wash away the sins, but they covered it, and it was an anticipation of Christ coming. Their blood, in years when Christ was in Jerusalem at Passover, there were times where they sacrificed 250,000 Passover lambs. Imagine the blood, 250,000 lambs. That's a quarter of a million lambs. Now, just think that blood was required, but just think one drop of God's blood. One small fragment of God's blood, the value of God's blood. Why do we call it precious? Because that's exactly what it is. It's an amazing thing that God would become man, take on a body. And by the way, he shed his blood for us more than once. He poured it all out on the cross. But the first time he shed his blood for us was when he was 8 days old, when he was circumcised. He bled. And that bleeding was for us. He bled at Gethsemane, where sweat came from his forehead. That's called hematidrosis, by the way. It's a medical condition. He shed his blood when he was whipped and crowned with thorns, and then he poured it all out when he was on the cross.
Steve, why do we... Okay, so you made a good point at the beginning of the interview. As Catholics, sometimes we need a whole day or a few days to celebrate something. So why do we need a whole day to celebrate the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus?
Well, the church is very smart. She's our mother. And when I grew up, my mother always had a new lesson for us every morning. You know, she'd always say, okay, we're going to learn this Bible verse today, or we're going to learn this today. And homeschooling moms know all about this. Well, the church is our mother. And every day we wake up and the church says to us as a mother, as she embraces us, we need to remember today this, because I want you not to forget it. So every day we have these wonderful lessons that our mother, the church, reminds us of and teaches us of, so that we don't forget them, because we are forgetful people and we will forget them. And even like Passover, and back in Exodus, they said, when your children say, why do we do these things? Why do we kill a lamb? Why do we eat the meat of the lamb? Why do we have to wear sandals? It's to remember so they'll never forget. And so this is what the church does. So not only is there a day, but the whole month of July is to respect and love and venerate the precious blood of Jesus. Like June was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, July is the precious blood of Jesus, which flows from that Sacred Heart. And then right alongside with that, month of August is the Immaculate Heart of Mary month.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for giving us those wonderful insights and really diving into the scriptures as well, because I really don't think about that until someone points it out. That's why I love the Bible in a year so much.
Yep.
Where are you off to next, Steve?
10 seconds. Well, the book of Revelation talks about blood 19 times.
Wow.
And Jesus is referred to as the Lamb 30 times in the book of Revelation. So not just blood in the Old Testament, it's blood even in the eternity in the whole book of Revelation. So thanks for having me on. It was fun being with you.
Well Steve, before you go, it's David. I'm butting in on this conversation because I've always been a big fan of yours. Hey, what do we do? What do we do to commemorate the precious blood?
Well, I would do some Bible research on it and look it up and and go even to Google and find a good website or two that talk about the precious blood, because there's a lot of good information up there. And you can and go to Mass and realize that as a Protestant, we talked about the blood, and it was in a symbolic way, the blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago that washed down Calvary and into the Dead Sea eventually.
Right.
But Catholics, we have that symbolic blood that Jesus did, but he makes it real for us again every day. So probably the best thing we could do to celebrate the precious blood of Jesus is go to Mass and realize he's still giving us his blood every day on the altar.
Right.
New book on Genesis just came out. It's on my website now. My new book called Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. It's almost 500 pages. It's the only commentary I know, a Catholic commentary in the book of Genesis, which is, by the way, the most important book of the Bible. Because it gives us the beginnings of everything. So that just came out. You can buy it on my website. And we're back in the pilgrimage business again after my knees are replaced. We're leaving on first week of August for Poland and 4 more trips to Israel this year.
There you go.
Hmm. Oh, my goodness. See, and I was about to ask you, where are you going to next? Is there room for people to join you on these pilgrimages for the rest of the year?
Well, Poland is sold out, and most of my Israel trips this year are sold out. But there are a few seats left. Maybe 5 seats left in the end of September, and a few seats left over Christmas break.
But the other
3 trips are sold out.
That's great. And Steve, how are you doing? Because I've been following you on social media, and you've been giving us some updates since your surgery.
If you don't need to get your knees replaced,
don't do it.
I had them both done. unless you really need to do it. I've had it done both knees at the same time 3 months ago. And I'm impatient. I want to be normal. I want to be, up and running around again. And the doctor said, Steve, I told you it would take a year before you're back in full shape again. It's going to take a year. And he said, you're only 3 months into it. So I'm the kind of guy he says, you need patience. So I'm the kind of guy that says, Lord, I want patience, and I want it now.
I like that. Yes.
Steve Ray, Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, thank you so much. Where can we go one more time to find out about your book and your upcoming pilgrimages?
Everything's at CatholicConvert.com.
Thanks, Steve. We're praying for you and looking forward to speaking with you next month.
Thank you. God bless you all down there.
All right. Hey, if you have an event in your church, parish, or organization, maybe a school event. I know we're in July. We don't really want to talk about school yet. But we're getting to that time it's starting to get busy. You can send it to us for free at ccmedia.live. That's our website. Click on events and news and then submit your event on there. There is a submit your event button. And we will talk about it on Wake Up and post it on our calendar. It is absolutely free, and we love doing it. Even if you have an Advent event coming up or even a Lenten event coming up next year, you have that flyer, we can put it on our website. The calendar just goes on and on, and a lot of people do that. So you can take a look at our calendar as well at ccmedia.live. There's plenty of things happening in and around our area. Well, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us when we come back from the break, and we are talking about homemade beignets. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Five past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado, and it is Friday. That means we have the Catholic foodie with us, Jeff Young. Morning, Jeff. How's it going?
Good morning. Well, I'm trying to get my coffee on, you know?
Yeah, well, you got good, strong coffee with chicory, or what do you do there?
No. I used to do the chicory all the time, but just, you know, a nice little dark roast is good for me.
Oh, okay. Same. Well, you're disappointing me there, but that's all right. We won't get into brand names. But you haven't tried River Road yet. That's a really good coffee.
Oh, absolutely.
But okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, look. You know, speaking of coffee, we were talking about stuff that goes with coffee. We were talking about pastries. You know, I was eating a healthy version of a pastry yesterday. It actually had apple in it. It was apple fritters, and I ate the whole dang thing. So I felt really healthy afterwards.
Healthy.
Thank you, Damien, for bringing that.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? I mean, you talk about portions and portion control and all that, but when it's healthy, it's okay.
It's okay. I'm sure it was a whole apple in there. So yeah. An apple a day.
It was big.
An apple a day puts on 10 pounds, I believe, is how that goes, right?
That's how that works.
Jeff, you know, how about beignets? You know, those are the best. You can't beat that with a stick.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And my go-to recipe for that is to go down the street to the, you know, bakery or to the Café du Monde. That's like the go-to recipe.
That's true. Okay, well, hey, it was great having you on, and thanks for the recipe.
David was getting on me because I said I go and purchase my beignets. I don't make them homemade like David does, so...
I'm glad you know you make them homemade.
Well, you know what's amazing part is the Café du Monde mix is available everywhere.
It is.
And have you read, Gabby, the instructions on how to make homemade beignets from that?
I have not.
You add water. Boom. Oh. That's it.
And then it just fluffs up and forms.
It does. It says you cut it into squares with a pizza cutter and drop it in the oil and brew up some... Yeah, go ahead.
What kind of oil do you use?
Look, I don't know. It doesn't say that. What kind of oil do you use?
Well, I guess, that's where, you know, I was going to say, coming on today to talk about beignets, is that, you know, we can go through recipes. I have a few, and I've done them in the past.
Okay.
But more about tips and tricks when you do this.
Okay.
Right? Because making beignets is going to be like making pizza dough. There's, you know... 280 different ways to do it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like some people suggest this, some people... But there are a few things that you can say in terms of tips and tricks that would be very helpful to anybody who is wanting to venture into this this task in the kitchen, right? Now, you can always do that method that you just talked about and go get the Café du Monde mix and add water and voila.
There you are. Yeah.
But if you're talking about making something from scratch, and it goes back to what I have said time and time again, I mean, there's no recipe police, one, but two, your ingredients are important, right? So if you're going to fry, let's say, in vegetable oil, that's going to be different than frying in, say, like peanut oil.
Oh, all
or
right.
Or something else.
Canola
right?
oil, yeah.
Canola
oil. I have yet to see a canola.
What the heck is a canola, by the way?
I don't know.
Right.
It does sound Italian, though. So, I'm just
I know what a cannoli is, and I eat that rather quickly when I see it.
That's a whole other show.
You can go get you a big thing of lard, right? Which is what they used to fry the McDonald's franchise in the
back when. That's right.
And it's fairly cheap, I think. But anyway, point is that your ingredients are important. And when you're talking about any kind of pastries, any kind of baking, we talk about, that is a science, all right? That is a science. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're talking about, cooking in the kitchen, it's not rocket science. There's lots of room for error. If you're going to, make some sort of a dish on the stove, the way you do your chicken or whatever, there's lots of leeway.
Sure.
But when it comes to baking, that is a science.
Yeah, because if you don't get it right, it's not coming out. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your measurements are off. Your timing's off. Mm-hmm. All those things can impact it. And so just a few tips and tricks in terms of if you're going to make beignets from scratch, right?
Okay. All right.
One thing is you're going to have to maintain an even cooking temperature. So I've done this. This is one of the reasons why I don't typically make beignets anymore is because I have been banned for life from frying anything in my house. And the only time that I'm allowed to fry anything is with a fryer, like a Fry Daddy or whatever.
All right.
Outside.
Right? Okay.
It has to be outside.
Really?
It can't be inside.
Okay.
And so it's a wintertime event for me if I do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to maintain that temperature, because you could do your first batch, and if you're just doing it in grease, oil on the stovetop, after that first batch comes out, you're going to have to wait because the oil temp drops.
Oh, yeah.
You have something like a Fry Daddy. It's a little bit different because you've got it's going to have it at the perfect temperature, which I think is 360, if I'm not mistaken, for something like this. It has to be it'll maintain that perfect temperature. Now, you're going to have a little drop when you take out that first batch, but it's going to come up pretty quickly because this mechanism, right, is set to do that for you.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. All right.
The Fry Daddy. When I do it myself on the stove, all bets are off. You don't know what you're going to get.
No. All right.
So, but your dough has to be made ahead of time. A lot of these different recipes will suggest, at minimum, allowing it to rest for 2 to 4 hours.
Oh.
There are a number that suggest at least 24 hours, which is a good thing because you can make the dough in advance anyway.
Okay.
Right? So you make the dough a day ahead, let it rest, then you're going to work with it the next day. When it comes to the dough, which is the flour in particular, it's a good idea in making beignets to use bread flour, right? Because bread flour is higher in gluten, it's higher in protein, and then it also has the barley, vitamin C, which is going to help the yeast to activate. And it also helps, especially with that time that you allow it to sit, it allows the gluten, the elasticity of the gluten to strengthen.
Okay.
And so it's going to help the dough itself, once it goes into the hot oil, to maintain the gas inside of the dough. Right,
wow, that is
one of
science.
The beautiful things about a beignet. You pull a beignet apart, you got all those holes. That's from the gas. And you have to... gluten does that. And I know that's a bad word today.
It is, yeah. But, everything is gluten-free, but not my beignets. They have gas.
Right, but it's there for a purpose. Right. It does something,
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a few things. And another is they should always be eaten immediately. I don't know if y'all have ever tried, a beignet that was cooked a couple of hours before.
Yeah, usually by the time it gets home, if somebody brings it home, it's like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, but it's not like when you get it right there at the Café Du Mont or something like that. It is so good, and it's you can barely touch them, but you can't keep them out your mouth, and it's so worth it,
Right.
My favorite thing is to bring somebody new into town, and you have beignets, and inevitably somebody's going to accidentally breathe in that powdered sugar, and then just blow it out all over everybody, So it
why
just
why would they breathe it in?
It's you're know how close? you just as you're putting it up to your mouth, you might be doing a little inhaling and. Boom.
Yeah. Big, just talking, big mistake. And chewing, talking and chewing, and it just inhaling.
Yeah.
That's why when you have your friends, you bring them the first time, you always recommend they wear black.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
exactly.
No. You guys, sure. They'll never come back.
Yeah, yeah. Visit. It was. that was fun, Jeff. I was going to get into the oils with you and why that changes things, you know, as far as, I mean, I don't know, flavors and everything. But what would you say, real quick, is the best oil to use?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the thing is it's a hard call. Uh-huh. Because the truth is, if you're doing, you could use vegetable oil.
Yeah.
And it's going to have less of a flavor that it leaves. Right.
Right?
It's going to be
right.
a little less, kind of more neutral.
Yeah.
But it's also not as natural as, say, like peanut oil. And I tend to lean more toward things that are more natural and healthy.
All right.
Even though we are talking about frying beignets.
Well, you know, if you haven't beignets anyway, so be it. That's right. Jeff, thanks for joining us. Where can they get a hold of you?
CatholicFoodie.com is
all right, man.
Of course, on all the socials, too.
So. We will make our weekend next weekend with you. Good talking to you.
All right.
All right. When we come back, Terry Dixon is going to be joining Damian Collado. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour on this Friday morning, you are listening to Wake Up and tuning your heart to the truth. With us now, Terry Dixon, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi. He's also the editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper, here to give us an update on what's going on in the Biloxi Diocese. Good morning, Terry. How's life treating you, buddy?
Good morning, Damian. Life is treating me well. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. And it's a pleasure to talk to you. Seems like it's been a while, but probably only been a couple of weeks. Let's talk about first the tragedy that took place in Moss Point, the tornado that hit there a few weeks ago. What's going on as far as getting those people back up on their feet? Because from what I understand, quite a few people in that area. I think there may have been 100 structures were damaged. 500 or more people were all of a sudden homeless. What's happening there, Terry?
Okay, well, just a little background information. An EF2 tornado hit Moss Point on June 12th, affecting 1,800 people. Approximately 500 became homeless. More than 100 homes and businesses were damaged or destroyed. And so, first of all, for those of you who do not know where Moss Point is, it is just north of Pascagoula.
Okay.
It's in the eastern part of our diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one Catholic church in Moss Point, St. Joseph the Worker, but it was not affected. Unfortunately, you know, some of the other businesses and homes were.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're taking up a special collection. The bishop has asked pastors of the diocese to take up a special collection the weekend of July 8th and 9th, and that's this weekend. And the proceeds will be used by Catholic Charities of South Mississippi to assist the tornado victims in Moss Point. And anyone wishing to donate may forward a check with the Moss Point tornado and the subject line to the Catholic Diocese of Biloxi. Our address is 1790 Pops Ferry Road, Biloxi, 39532. And you can also go to www.biloxidiocese.org to make an online contribution. So we're definitely praying for all the good people of Moss Point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we definitely are. And as far as those that needed shelters after the tornado blew through, does the church or how y'all's Catholic Charities involved in providing shelters? Are you working with certain organizations? Because I think that's important to know as well.
Absolutely. Now, the diocese does not have a shelter per se, but Catholic Charities, you know, has a great relationship with other organizations, and I know that they are working with them to help people get back on their feet.
Good.
And if you want to call Catholic Charities, you can call 228-701-0555 I rode through Moss Point the other day for the first time since the tornado, and it was, you know, at first it was like, well, where's the damage? And then all of a sudden it's kind of like it hits you in the face. It's like, wow, here's the damage. You know, it's just that pronounced.
Isn't that something? I saw video and pictures. It was pretty bad. And I think a lot of people, it happened so quick that a lot of people might be hearing about it for the first time, as crazy as that sounds. But anyway.
Perhaps. And I got to tell you, I have a neighbor who's from California, and she always calls me when there's bad weather. And I've always told her, you know, we live south of the interstate. You don't have to worry about tornadoes. But I can't tell her that anymore.
No, it's right.
No,
that's right. Wow. You're right, though. Most of the time, it's in the northern part of our states. Changing gear.
You know what?
Yeah, what, buddy?
And that's why I'm not a meteorologist.
Well, you are a great editor and writer, and I want to talk about the young lady who has become director of youth and youth activity ministries in the diocese. Share with us, Mary Ann Schmidt, a little bit of background and her new title.
Well, we're excited to announce that Mary Ann Schmidt is the new director of youth and young adult ministry. She is a native of Houston, but she's no stranger to Mississippi. Previously, she served as a youth minister at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Picayune, and she was the director of campus ministry at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg on the campus of the University of Southern Mississippi.
Nice.
And so she has a background in life teen, and she's also got a background in business administration, and she has a master's in human capital development from Southern Mississippi. But she said the ministry kept calling to her, kept tugging her back in this direction. And so now she is going to work with the youth and young adults of the Diocese of Biloxi.
Very good. And, you know, this made national news, and y'all have a couple of articles in this edition of the Gulf Pine on Mother Mary Ellen Lang, the Venerable Mother Mary Ellen Lang, who is the she created the first Catholic order of nuns, African-American nuns, in the United States. She's founder of Oblate Sisters of Providence, and boy, what an interesting story on her. And I'm glad y'all have printed an article about her background and the Pope declaring her Fatima visionary.
And there is another story about her in there where a deacon from the Archdiocese of Baltimore refers to her as one of the most effective evangelists who has ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would encourage people to pick up a copy of the paper and to read that story about her.
Yes, exactly. I know one of them's on page 9. Before we wrap up, you always know I like to ask you about some events taking place in the Biloxi Diocese. So give us a couple that we can maybe jot down and possibly attend.
Well, it's the fall season. You know what that means? Well, it's not the fall season yet. Yeah. The fall season's coming up. For us Catholics, that means drawdowns.
I don't even know what that is.
Drawdown.
Okay. You don't know what a drawdown is?
I don't. So fill me in quickly.
Oh, you pay tickets for example, St. Joseph in Gulfport, Saturday, August 12th from 5 to 10 p.m. $100 admits two people, and they have a drawdown. Drawing names until you get down to the last name.
All the way down to the last name, and then you win.
Christ the King and Latimer is having one on August 19th at 6 o'clock. So you can look on page 2 of this week's paper and find out more about those drawdowns. And also you can see a schedule of all the Spanish masses that are offered in the Diocese of Biloxi.
All righty. Well, Terry, wow. I wish we had more time, but we appreciate you as always. In the meantime, you be safe and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Terry Dixon, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi. There's also a healing mass come July 21st. It's going to be at our Mother of Mercy Church Parish in Pass Christian.
Healing Mass.
A healing Mass.
Good.
A lot of
good.
People like to
yes,
attend those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Well, we hope you'll spread some healing and joy through the weekend and join us back here on Monday. We'll wrap up with prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, surround me with your shield of love and protection in the name of Jesus. Have compassion and mercy on me, O King of Kings, for my sins. Wash them all with the precious blood of Jesus. O Lord, drive away all the principalities and powers that are gathered to cloud my judgment in the name of Jesus. Most precious blood of Jesus, save us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Father Bryce Higginbotham from the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux talks about the Eucharistic Revival. Dr. Tina Holland from FRANU in Baton Rouge and so much more. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.